Hi, welcome to Whiskey Cast, the Cask Strength podcast featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie, and coming up in a few minutes.
Thou shalt not touch the whiskey. The whiskey is good, as good as it's going to get, if not and better than everybody else. I'm not going to touch that.
That's Jason Craig, Global Controller for Highland Park Whiskey. As I mentioned in the last episode, Edrington Group is putting some marketing muscle behind Highland Park, and we'll get the details from Jason later. But first, let's take a look at the news. Earlier this year, Heaven Hill's Rittenhouse Bottled in Bond Rye was named the best American whiskey at the San Francisco World Spirits Competition. Now, Heaven Hill plans to release a 21-year-old version of Rittenhouse Rye. The Rittenhouse Very Rare Single Barrel may be one of the most expensive American whiskeys on the market. Just 3,000 bottles will be available at a suggested price of $150 each. Springbank Distillery has a new manager. Stuart Robertson has worked at Linkwood, Glenelgan, and Craganmore in the past. He replaces Frank McCarty, who has been promoted to Director of Production for Springbank and Glengyle Distilleries. Both are owned by J&A Mitchell & Company. If you've wanted to visit Isle of Jura in the past, finding some place to stay on the island has been almost as much of a challenge as getting there. Now the White & Mackay-owned distillery has opened Jura Lodge. The lodge can house up to 10 people and will also be the home base for the distillery's new whiskey school. The Jura Fellowship 5-day class will cost £1,000 per person, and the first class is in November. You'll find a link to the Isle of Jura website at whiskeycast.com. And, by the way, they redesigned the website, too. Time now to answer another question from a Whiskey Cast listener. Matt Bergink emailed me the other day with a question about decanters. Here's his question. I recently got a nice crystal whiskey decanter, but was warned shortly after not to use it because the whiskey would leach the lead out of the bottle and poison the whiskey. I want to know if there's any truth to this. Now, here's the answer, Matt, with some help from Scott Davidson at Glencairn Crystal. It is true that a small amount of lead does leach from the crystal into the whiskey, but only at the moment when the whiskey is poured in. You'd have to drink the decanter's contents immediately and repeat the process to have any substantial lead exposure. And remember, lead poisoning is generally a long-term process. You'd be more likely to die from alcohol poisoning than lead poisoning. There is one caveat to keep in mind, though. Modern crystal is subject to environmental laws that limit the amount of lead content. If you're using an antique decanter, the amount of lead exposure could be higher. Matt, thanks for the question. And if you have a whiskey question you'd like answered, please email me. The address is comments@whiskeycast.com, and I'll try to get you an answer. In the last episode, I talked about Edrington Group's plans to revamp the marketing and packaging for its Highland Park single malt. The official announcement came this weekend at Whiskey Live Glasgow, and I caught up with Highland Park Global Controller Jason Craig on his mobile phone in Glasgow. He's been looking at the Highland Park legacy for the last 18 months, and while it ranks 15th in sales among single malts, there was something missing.
Last year, we had two huge accolades. We got Best Spirit in the World from Paul Packel for our 18-year-old, and we had Import Malt Whiskey of the Year for our 30-year-old from Malt Advocate magazine. Now, when you pick up accolades like that, you begin to question, why? Can I justify this? Is there a reason why my whiskey has picked up these awards? Because if I don't know what the reason is, I won't be able to replicate it. So it came back to really the liquid. So when I started reinvestigating the liquid, I quickly realized that there were certain aspects of the brand that needed to be shouted about a bit louder, and other parts of the brand that we had been talking up, which weren't really that relevant. So that's what I've tried to do over the last year, and that's culminated in repackaging the brand, releasing a few extra variants, and generally trying to re-authenticate where Highland Park exists in the world of single malt whiskey.
And what exactly have you done as part of that effort?
Well, in terms of positioning, the way we're trying to position the brand now, because of all the awards and accolades and general praise that all the variants of Highland Park get, from 12-year-old through to 30, is position the brand as the world's most respected single malt whiskey. Not to say it's the best, not to say it's everybody's favourite or the most loved, but people should doff their hats, as it were, and say, those guys make whiskey the right way. They don't cut corners, they don't trim costs, they do it the hard way, and they do it on Orkney.
Are you worried when you're dealing with an iconic brand like Highland Park that if you make changes, you might make a mistake and mess it up?
I think that's a very, very insightful point. I think although I'm, you know, I have the grand title of global controller for Highland Park, basically I am the person that looks after the brand. I view myself as a brand guardian. I mean, we have been making malt whiskey the same way for 208 years, and who am I to come in and change that? Now, what I have done is basically said the liquid is king, the liquid cannot be touched, the liquid gets all these awards and accolades. I am going to try and polish the support materials, the packaging, the press releases, the press packs, the images, and the photography that goes along with the brand, and make it more suitable for the brand. So it's very much keeping the whiskey central, but making sure everything else supports it in the right way. And there's a tremendous pressure not to break something that's fantastic. And it's, you know, marketeers generally like to dabble and change and manipulate and try and polish things up. But for me, I've singled out the whiskey as I'm almost, thou shalt not touch the whiskey. The whiskey is good as it's going to get, if not better than everybody else. I'm not going to touch that.
That's a good approach to take.
Yeah, I think if you've been named the best spirit in the world and the import malt whiskey of the year, you just got to keep your standard high. Quality maintenance is vitally important, and it's very easy to start, you could trim a little bit of cost there, you could use less first fill sherry oak casks or floor malting if necessary. All these things could save us money, but all of these things cost us more money than most other single malts spend. But we keep them, and the end product seems to be fantastic. So you've got to be very careful with it.
Jason Craig was one of the key executives at Edrington behind the McAllen Fine Oak Range, but there won't be anything as drastic as that at Highland Park.
We're not trying to make Highland Park everybody's favorite single malt. People have to go on a single malt journey and learn what flavors they like. Some people love the light floral space sides. Some like the heavily phenolic and smoky Islas. Other people like the rich and sweet, you know, McAllen type and sherry oak, and also the fine oak product from McAllen. But Highland Park sits in the middle ground. You know, Highland Park was described by Michael Jackson as the greatest all-rounder in the world of malt whiskey because it has this balance of sweetness and smoke. So we're not really an entry-level whiskey for the malt category, but for those people who are in the malt category, we're one of the finest whiskies to drink because we are very, very palatable. And I think the expert endorsement that we're getting across all of our age ranges, it really brings that point home to the consumer, from a double gold medal winning 12-year-old future import whiskey of the year, 30-year-old, and in the middle ground, we've got the best spirit in the world for 18-year-old. I mean, there's something for everybody in the Highland Park range.
With 12, 15, 18, 25, and 30 expressions in the main Highland Park range, there's still one thing missing. I asked Jason Craig whether we might see a cask-strength Highland Park distillery release someday soon.
I would think that's a sensible option. I mean, from my perspective, I view the Highland Park range as very much age-led, so we don't have finishes in our range. We currently don't have a cask strength, although we have done these single cask bottlings. But when you are aiming to be the most respected single malt in the world and you've got, you know, the best spirit in the world for your 18-year-old, I think we should do some form of cask strength bottling. Currently, our 25 and 30-year-old are 48.1% ABV anyway. So, I mean, they're near to cask strength, but we have plenty of good quality casks. So I'm not ruling out the future, but I don't have an immediate plan for the next 18 months for that.
By the way, a few single cask Highland Park malts have been available through whiskey specialists who have bought casks for a store-exclusive bottling, but that will be ending soon. Craig plans to phase out cask sales to keep that older whiskey available for distillery releases. By the way, I'll have more on those specialist bottlings on the next episode of Whiskey Cast. Meanwhile, that's all for this episode. As always, I'd love to hear from you. My email address is comments@whiskeycast.com. Whiskey Cast is a production of MG Media, copyright 2006, and comes to you from the charming, yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.